Okay. When I first walked into church about a year ago with this outfit on, I had, I'm not going to say who to uncover them, but I had an associate, one of the pastors here, asked me, where are the popsicles? And I couldn't quite understand what he was talking about, but he said I looked like the Good Humor Man dressed like this. So I just thought, you know, if you're looking for popsicles, we'll try to get some in the kitchen out and back later. Whatever. Okay. That's my stand-up routine. Thank you, everybody. Good night. Oh, let's see. Don't we have a good daddy? You know, isn't our Heavenly Father, you know, I was thinking about that song, Good, Good Father, the other, I've been singing that in my head. You know, we got a good, good daddy. You know, we really do. Even when we go through the toughest of times, we got a good, good daddy. So I'm going to look a little bit about that tonight. And I'm also going to look a little bit about how we're not so good in our old nature. And there's a reason for that. I hope you'll see that. But one of the best pieces of advice that was ever given to me when I first came in the church, Ron DiMatteo, and he's not here tonight, so I can build him up without him being embarrassed. The first thing he ever said to me when I came into this church, I'll always remember, he said, Mark, spend as much time as you can with your pastors. And I will never, ever forget that advice, and I will never, ever regret doing that. I mean, I always say all this to, like, Pastor Handel, I spend as much time with him as I can, Pastor Moore, Pastor Larry. And, you know, sometimes I always say this, I feel like this little gnat around their head, like I'm always there. It's like that you feel like they should be ready to just swap me out of the way here, you know? It's like, get away from me. But, you know, the beautiful thing about it is they don't. That's what's been so precious to me. I mean, you know, they've never swatted me away, no matter how much I've kind of pressed in. And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed, and, you know, this world's going nuts, in case anybody hasn't noticed. I mean, this world is going nuts. And one of the things that when you press in, you know, if you spend a lot of time with Pastor Handel and Pastor Moore or Pastor Larry, anybody, the constancy, every time you're with them, they're always the same. You know, they're never up, you know, they're not this up and down. You know, you see people out there, sometimes they're yelling, sometimes they're happy, sometimes they're down. But when you're with pastors that are like Pastor Handel, they're always the same. And isn't that kind of what we want in our life? We want that constancy. We don't want to be on this roller coaster ride of you know, up and down and up and down and up and down. So Pastor Moore had his wife had to have his car taken in on Monday, so I got to play taxi service for him again and drive him around to the Bible studies and the state and everything like that, which is great because I'm spending time with him. And when we were having lunch there after that, I asked him, you know, Pastor, you've been for 40 years. I mean, you know, I haven't known him, you know, only 5.5 or 6 years, but for 40 years, like Pastor Hannah, I mean, you've been, you know, his wife calls him a tank. You know, because he just always keeps going. He just never gets stopped. And I say, well, you know, what do you attribute that to, Pastor? And he said one thing. He said, my confidence is in God. And I said, wow. Okay. And there's a scripture, and this kind of would be our themes, maybe one of our theme scriptures for tonight. And it's in Proverbs 3:26. And it says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And we know foot represents our walk with God. And being taken in this case means snared. So when we put our confidence in God, he keeps our walk with him from being ensnared by the enemy. And I just thought it was such that word for confidence is, my Greek isn't the greatest, but it's kaso. And it talks, and it means a fatness in our loins. And our loins speak of a center of strength and of procreating power. In other words, the power to generate, to produce, or to bring into being. And that's what we want in our life. We want to be able to bring that kind of life into being that we want, that eternal life. And we can only get that when our confidence is in Him. And, you know, I guess I'm going to go to the place where, like, why can't we put confidence in ourselves? And, you know, there's so many scriptures right now. You know, if you haven't understood the doctrine of total depravity, you know, all you have to do is go to Isaiah 1:5 and 1:6 and learn that our whole head is sick, you know, from the head down to the toe. In verse 6, it said there's no soundness within us, no soundness. And I always think about, when I think about that, I get this picture in my mind of a staircase. Like, we have these problems, and we're trying to get out of our problems, and we have staircase, and each one of the stairs has no soundness in it. It's all rotten. And you keep trying to step on the stair, and it breaks, and you keep trying to step on the stair, and it breaks, and you keep trying to step up, but there's no soundness to the stairs, and you end up right back where you started from, which is basically in the basement cellar where you don't want to be. So that's why we can't look to ourselves, because we have no soundness in us, you know. And we know in Jeremiah 17:9 it talks about our whole heart is just absolutely wicked. It's totally deceitful. We can't even know it. It's so unsound. And, you know, the Pastor Hanno's been talking a lot about physics lately, about how our universe is all in threes, about electrons and protons. There's this great principle, and I'll get to use my physics background here. There's this principle called the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. And like Pastor Hanna was bringing out, when you've got an electron in an orbit, in order to see it, you have to shine some kind of a light on it, in a sense, and some kind of energy on it to be able to see it. It's like if you're in a dark room and you want to see where the door is, you got to shine the light so you know where it is. But the thing about it is, when you shine the light on something, it adds energy to it, and it pops it up to a higher orbit. So it's like one of these things, like where every time you try to see something, it's gone. You know, it just pops up to this higher orbit. So I try to look at this electron, and boom, it's up there. And I try to look over here, and boom, it's up there. And that's just like, isn't that just like us when we try to do it ourselves, that we try to even see what's in our heart? It's just we can never see. We think we can, but it's always popping up to someplace else, and it always eludes us. You know, that's like Paul said, I mean, at the end of chapter 7, it's like, who will deliver me from this body of death? It's like, it's Jesus Christ will. We can't. And one of the things that really God impressed on me is about His faithfulness one time. And when I first became a Christian, I used to see these people that were like what I call them shooting stars. You know, they were great. They were all hyper. They were excited. Oh, praise the Lord, and we're going to do this. And oh my, you know, we're just, you know, this. Oh yeah, and you think they're phenomenal Christians, and holy mackerel, let's be like them. But then 3 years later, you'd never see them again. I call them shooting stars. They'd blaze really brightly, and then they'd be gone. And, you know, I'm not condemning anybody who's been that way, because, you know, 1 Peter 5:8 says the devil roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So, you know, any one of us could be devoured at any minute. I mean, obviously we have to guard our hearts so that doesn't happen. But I prayed when I first became a Christian. I said, Father, you know, I know I've got to become a disciple. You know, Romans 12:1 and 2 says, you know, we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And like pastors always taught, it has to be a daily presentation of our bodies. And I said, Father, I don't want this to be emotional, because I don't want to be that shooting star. I want to be able to have that endurance, be able to have that lasting power. You know, 40 years from now, I still want to be here. I don't want to be that shooting star. And I said, Father, you've got to make me, or allow me to make this decision absolutely in a stone cold manner, no emotions, so that I don't go back on it. I guess that's what I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to just have it an emotional, because you know when you make an emotional decision, a lot of times they're not great decisions. But if you make it stone cold, look at all the facts, there's a better chance it's going to stick. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted it to stick. And you know, the thing about it is, though, when you start looking around, and you start trying and you start, you know, wanting to get to that place where you are completely sold out, it just never seems like you're going fast enough. You know, I know in like in 2 Corinthians 10:12, we're not supposed to compare ourselves one to another, but you have a tendency to see somebody else, you know, making more progress than we do, and it says, I want to get there faster, I want to get there faster, and, you know, and it's like, you know. No, it's not wise. And, you know, we all have our own timetable, but it just reminds me so much when you're really trying to, it reminds me of that caterpillar that goes up on a branch and weaves that little cocoon around. I guess it's like called a chrysalis or something. And a lot of times when you see the time-lapse photography, you see the worm in there when it's all starting to wiggle around as they're trying to, you know, that's what I felt so many times. It's like, I want to get going faster. So I'm like in this cocoon and I'm going, ah, it's like, God, get me going faster. This cocoon, you know, I want to come out that beautiful butterfly. I don't want to be this lousy worm, you know. So anyway, and I was just in my immaturity, I was saying, God, get me going faster. And I heard the Lord say to me in that still small voice, do you really want me to renege on my promise, you know, to allow you to do that in a stone cold way? And I thought about what he was trying to teach me is about his faithfulness. I mean, when I prayed that prayer, I never really heard him say, okay, but we know that when we pray to him, he hears our prayers, and if we ask anything according to his will, he'll do it. He'll grant us our request. And I began to realize that faithfulness is one of God's most amazing attributes. There's a book called The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozier, and in there it lists like 20 or 21 different attributes of God, from his omniscience to his mercy, his grace, whatever it may be. And it's a really beautiful book. But one of the things that he said in there I'll never ever forget is that faithfulness is like the most important attribute he has, because even though if he's gracious, even if he's merciful, even if he's loving, you know, God is love, if he's not faithful to be those things, then all of those attributes really do not mean anything. So it's his faithfulness. And that's what God was showing me, that he was faithful to honor that prayer. And I began to think about that, and that made me think of one thing. You know, if God just one time did not honor his word, did not, you know, we know in the Bible there's like 8,000 or more promises in that Bible. If just one time God did not keep his promise to us, we would never, ever be able to trust him ever again. Just one time if he did not keep his promise. And I thought how amazing that is, that he has to keep all 8,000 of those promises. And then I thought to myself, that's why. That's why we can have that confidence in him, like Pastor Moore was saying. That's why we have that confidence in him, because it not only is it his nature, but if he wants us to trust him, he just cannot break any one of his promises, even if he wanted to, which he obviously doesn't, and even if he could, which he can't. But if he did, we would never, ever be able to trust him again. And that's why we can have that confidence in him, because every single one of those promises is true, and he will never break not one of them. And that's why we can have absolute confidence in him. And there's a beautiful verse, if you just please turn to me real quickly, to 1 Kings 8:56. It's a great verse. It says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And that word failed means fallen short. So not one of his promises has ever fallen short. And that word good, his good promise, means agreeable to the senses, pleasant to our higher nature, rich and valuable. All of his promises are valuable to us. And aren't they, when you think about that, how valuable they are? And that's why we can, I gotta bring this one into it. It's Acts 27:25. If you just really quickly turn there with me, please, too. That's a great verse. It brings it out much better in the Amplified. So I'm just gonna read it in the Amplified. So if you maybe just want to listen here, it says, this was when Paul was going to take a trip to Italy there, and he got in a big storm, and the storm was threatening to destroy the ship and everything. And he says, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith, complete confidence in God, that it will be exactly as it was told unto me. And I always love that, because the Amplified puts exactly. We can have absolute confidence that when God promises something, that it will be exactly as it has been told unto us. Not just partially, not just kind of, but exactly as it has been told unto us. And I just thought how beautiful that is. You know, I mean, like I said, God's a good God. He's a good daddy, that he would actually do that for us. You know, I mean, I was thinking about that, and he's such a good, good father. I mean, you know, all this creation is for us, you know. I mean, and I remember I brought out Psalm 138 a few weeks ago that said that, you know, David said, how precious are your thoughts toward me, O Lord, for if I could number them, they'd be as many as the sand of the sea. And, you know, all this creation, his thoughts are toward us because he loves us. You know, he doesn't say, you know, like the planet Jupiter, you know, oh, how beautiful you are, planet Jupiter, you know, I mean, oh, how the gases are all this and how that big red spot's going across all the time. No, they're toward us. They're toward us. You know, his thoughts are as many as the sea toward us. I mean, he's a good, good daddy. And I don't know. I just want you to realize that he's faithful and he's good. And if we just put our complete and utter confidence in him, he'll keep our feet, walk in the right paths. And just don't put any confidence in the flesh. Like, is it Philippians 3:3? No. Yeah, Philippians 3:3 about putting no confidence in the flesh. We just can't do that because there's no soundness to it. We just put our complete and utter confidence in him. And he's a good, good daddy to fulfill exactly all of his promises to us. Amen? Mm-hmm. So, Father, I just ask that you would take this simple message and put it in our hearts forever, Father, that we can have absolute and complete trust in all of your promises, Father. That you're a good, good daddy who loves us dearly, cherishes us. Your thoughts are always towards us, Father. Just let us receive that truth. Let us receive your love and trust you, Father. Just trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. We have 5 minutes until 8 o'clock. I don't know if Pastor would like to do a little wrap, or I don't know what your plans are, but I'm open. if not, okay. Well, we can. I don't know. Whenever you want, we can do it in 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. 8:05, we'll meet up here for a little wrap if you like. Thank you for being good listeners. our favorite pastor's line when they're done. Thank you for being good listeners. Appreciate it. just want to say you people are really special to me. You know, it's a real privilege to be up here. Just thank you.
Anyway.